Hello, class. This is Reverend Calhoun again. We're going to continue another session on the topic of the spirit of honor. But this week and for the remainder of the classes for the semester, one of the things the Lord was kind of prompting me to do was to go over a lot of information recovered the first half of the year and our last year and the first half of this year. We won't be covering any new material. He said just reinforce the things that has been taught so that the students can get those concepts and those definitions and understanding the key elements of honor. So we're going to get into a word of prayer and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. I trust, Lord God, that every student is doing well, Lord God, and they're getting everything they need out of these classes. We thank you for our apostle, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., the first family, Lord God. We thank you for ever-increasing Word Training Center, and that, Lord God, you're training and equipping young ministers for ministry, Lord God, or for working in the ministry of helping their pastors, Lord God, to advance ministries, Lord God, and that everybody is walking in their vocation, in their prospective callings, whether it's a five-fold ministry call or call to the ministry of helps, Lord God. And Father, as always, if the Holy Spirit don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. I'm relying and leaning completely and totally upon you. All right, as I stated, I'm going to go back over basically some of the key questions that we've had on previous tests and reiterate and kind of milk them a little bit more. So, because one thing I've learned over the years, you never get everything out of a scripture or out of a quote or something that's you know, that has a spiritual substance in it the first time you hear it. And it's good to go back over it and just milk it for a while. Like, you know, I like to use the word like a cow. He'll just chew on the grass and he just gets all the nutrients out the grass. So it's very important that we do that. All right. One of the first key questions we had last semester that I thought was pivotal is that honor is reciprocation in terms of the way we receive the anointing and the way people act on what has been released. I'm going to read that again. Honor is reciprocation in terms of the way we receive the anointing and the way people act on what has been released. Once you receive what the man of God has released, you must now reciprocate or flip it. And when you flip it around and begin to act upon what you receive, this is honoring your man of God. So honor is reciprocation. The word reciprocation means the reciprocal or reverse or flipping it over. Like, you know, one third would be 3/1. But it's the reciprocal in terms of the way the anointing is received. First of all, you've got to receive the anointing. When the anointing is being poured out through your man of God, through your pastor, through the apostle, is reciprocation in terms of the way that anointing is received and the way people act on what has been released. So it's very important that we act on the anointing. It's one thing to receive it, but you got to act on. The Bible says that we must be doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen? All right. Submission. We're going to talk about submission. Submission is the breeding ground of the supernatural. I don't know if you remember that question last semester. Submission is the breeding ground of the supernatural. If you submit to the Lord's anointing, miracles take place. Okay, that word submission means to fall under the mission of another. When you submit, you're falling under the mission or the vision of another person. You know, so you're falling under the mission of another. You're giving birth to the supernatural. Submission is the breeding ground. When you say breeding ground, a breeding ground is a place where things are given birth to. So when you submit, that's the breeding ground or where you're giving birth to the supernatural. If you submit to the Lord's anointed, the man or the woman of God that God has called you to, miracles, you know, and you submit to it, but not only are you submitting to it, but you're acting on what you was being released, amen? And miracles, signs, and wonders begin to take place. That's what we want in our lives. We want to see, getting back to verse 1, the reciprocal of the anointing that had been released, acting upon it, you know, but also too, you have to submit to the Lord's anointing. You know, submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. If you submit to the Lord's anointing, miracles will take place. Amen. All right. In the book of Matthew, we reiterated on the scripture, Matthew 13:57. Matter of fact, let me get my Bible. I want to read the scripture from the Word of God so that we can get a firm understanding of what Jesus is saying. Give me a second here. Matthew 13:57. All right. Let's start at verse 54. Matthew 13:54 says, "And when he came into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this the Mary's, is not his mother Mary, called Mary, and his brother and James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then had this man all of these things?" Verse 57, "And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." So the people in his own country were offended at him because they became too familiar with Jesus. They knew his mother Mary. They knew all his brothers. They knew his sisters. They were probably brought up and grew up with him. And now he comes back to his home country, and he begins to teach in the synagogues, and they're astonished at his teaching because they knew his pedigree from the natural, and trying to, you know, looking at him from that natural point of view, you know, how could he have gotten this wisdom? Getting back to the question, it says in Matthew 13:57, Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house." He literally is saying that familiarity in many places breeds dishonor and discontent. So when you become too familiar with your man of God, when you become too familiar with the anointing that's on his life, it becomes too common or too ordinary to you. Never let your man of God become too common or ordinary to you. He's not your buddy or your friend. He's God's anointed. And that anointing puts him on another level. Matter of fact, the Bible says that when the anointing comes on a man or woman of God, they're literally turned into another man, turned into another person. So you never want to become too familiar with your pastor, with the man of God that God has placed you under, because then at that point, it's hard to receive from him. You want to be able to receive the word from him. You want to be able to receive the anointing that's on their lives. So you can't allow them to become too familiar, or too common, too ordinary to you. You always have to put a level of respect and separation between you and them. I don't want to become buddy-buddy with Apostle Thompson. I want to respect him and honor him as a man of God. And by doing so, what's on him can now be transferred on me because of the respect and the honor and the seeds that I sow into his life. And that's so very important. Amen? All right. Enough on that question. Let's move on. Number 4, sons must realize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing they need. Sons must honor, respect, and acknowledge that the Father has been sent by God and empowered to convey and transfer the impartation they need. Now, I like the way The author starts to, sons must realize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing that they need. In most instances, the blessing and the anointing that you need for your life is going to come by way of you submitting to whom God has called you to. Yeah, you can pray and believe God and grow spiritually on your own, but you'll never get everything you need. There's always a transfer that has to be taken. And really, that's the way apostolic government works. You know, getting back to scripture, I will quote much. You know, Aaron, who was the high priest, the Bible says, you know, how the anointing ran down Aaron's head to his shoulders, to his, torso, down to a skirt, and all the way down to his feet. The anointing always runs down from the head down to every part of the body. And it's so very important that we position ourselves properly. And so sons must realize that the Father who's been positioned above them has the blessing that they need. And sons and daughters must honor and respect and acknowledge that their Father has been sent by God and empowered by God to convey and to transfer importations that they need. And in many instances, you're not going to get it any other way. You know, that's God's proper protocol. That's God's way of doing things. You know, you must connect. You must submit yourself under proper apostolic government. No other way. You know, yeah, you get a little bit here and there if you don't submit and don't connect properly, but you'll never get the full blown transfer of everything you need to be successful in life. Amen. Let's see what I have in that regard. The blessing you need comes only through the hands of the Father. You must respect, honor, and acknowledge that the Father has been sent by God with the blessing you need. And I have something else down here that the Lord reminded me of earlier today when I was sitting down meditating these questions. Several years ago, 10, 12 years ago, I can't remember, the Lord had me drive to Atlanta. Matter of fact, I brought my daughter, a friend of mine, and his daughter. We made it a father-daughter trip. But I went to see, I think it might have been the 10th anniversary of World Changers, Faith Dome, a World Dome that they call there in College Park. But two distinct speakers was going to be there, Oral Roberts and Kenneth Copeland, and as you know, Dr. Dollar, that's his ministry. And what the Lord permitted me to see happen in the first minute of the program, and I mean, because Oral Roberts ministered, and he ministered on seed time and harvest and giving and receiving. And he ministered that same message when he was here years ago. So I had already heard the message, even though I got more out of it, but it's what the Lord permitted me to see. He saw Oral Roberts coming onto the stage. He didn't have his coat on, but Kenneth Copeland was holding his coat and holding his briefcase and his Bible. And Creflo Dollar was behind Kenneth Copeland, holding his Bible. And they all three walked on the stage. Kenneth Copeland helped Oral Roberts, who is his spiritual father, put his coat on, got him situated, you know, and then Creflo Dollar ended up giving Kenneth Copeland his Bible, and they both walked off stage and sat on the front row. And the Lord says, this is spiritual legacy. This is recognizing, you know, that the blessing comes from the Father, and and you see one Father, one Son, another Father, and another Son, and he said, this is spiritual legacy. Don't take it for granted. This is the way the anointing is transferred. You submit properly to whom God has called you to. And though each man had a very successful ministry and are having a very successful ministry, they still submit to their spiritual fathers, even unto the end. Amen? All right, let me just move on. All right, this next number five is goes right in line with what I'm just talking about. It's talking about Elijah and Elijah. Elijah followed after Elijah. to serve him. Key word. After Elijah's mantle was cast upon Elijah, he began to prepare for ministry. Your man of God must, your man of God does not pursue you. You must pursue your man of God. Because if you remember, the Lord instructed Elijah to anoint Elijah by placing his mantle upon him, which he did. And then immediately Elijah said, let me go and say farewell to my parents, my family, and then I'll come and I'll serve you. And then Elijah says, what have I to do with you? I didn't call you. You know, do what you want to do, but I did what God called me to do. Now you got to do what God called you to do. You know, basically is what he was telling Elijah. So Elijah went, he cooked some food, and he said goodbye, farewell. And then he, from that point on, began to pursue and follow Elijah. The key here is that Elijah followed after his man of God. The man of God does not follow after the son. So God will show you, and he will bring you to the brook. Where, when I use the word brook, because there was a time where Elijah was sustained by a brook, God will bring you to a spiritual house where, like a brook, it's going to sustain you. And from there, you get your nourishment. Amen? All right, let's move on. Now, we talked about a scripture in class that referred to a generation anointing. And let me look at something right quick. Give me a second. Go to Acts 20. I want to make sure I get this right. Okay, yeah, I got it right. We refer to Acts 6 and 7, and mightily grew the word of God and prevail. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Amen. Let me go to Acts 6 and 7, which is actually the correct answer. One of the students had asked me about that at okay, in Acts 6 and 7, it says, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. So this scripture refers to maintaining a continued legacy, or continued generational anointing, because it talks about how the number of disciples multiplied. So once the word was bring forth, they said, and the word of God increased. So there was an increase in the word, and there was the number of disciples multiplied. So whenever the word is being brought forth, the disciples are going to multiply in Jerusalem. And a great company of priests became obedient to the faith. In other words, you see the word going forth, the disciples coming forth, and the priests being obedient to the faith. So this is an example of a generational anointing, a generational legacy, Acts 6 and 7. That's so very important. I've seen that take place in this ministry where, you know, the number of disciples have multiplied through LTMA, and a great company of the priests are obedient to the faith, carrying on the generational legacy, generational anointing. Amen? All right, let's move on. Any good spiritual father always wants their sons and daughters to take the torch of ministry and advance it further than they did. They now begin to build upon the spiritual foundation that their father has laid, carrying on the legacy and building upon the foundation of their father for the next generation. That's so very important. I never forget my natural father. He once told me, sitting under the carport when I was probably 12, 13, 14 years old, he said, son, he said, you should advance further in life than I did, because you're taking and you're learning things from me, and I'm giving you a better opportunity in life than my dad did for me. So I expect you to advance and to go further in life than I did. You know, my dad was a farmer. I'm talking about my physical father was talking about his dad. My grandfather was a farmer. And they lived on the farm. They lived off the farm. Once my dad graduated and started to go to college, he was drafted in the Marine Corps and, you know, and moved on and grew more and developed more. But what he was sharing with me is, he said, my dad gave me everything that he could afford to give me. And I'm giving you everything that I could afford to give you. Now you should advance further, you know. And getting back to this statement, any good, now from a spiritual perspective, any good spiritual father always wants their sons and daughters to take the torch of ministry and advance it further than they did. They now begin to build upon the spiritual foundation their father has laid, carrying on the legacy and building the foundation that their father has laid for the next generation. That's so very important, you know, that foundation is laid. But once the foundation is laid, you can build a strong, solid structure off of that foundation. And so it's very important that we carry the torch of ministry that was given to us by our spiritual father, by our pastors, especially if you're in the fivefold ministry, and try to advance it further than, but even so, the son or the daughter is never greater than the father. You know, even though they might have accomplished more, but they didn't have to break up the fallow ground. Their spiritual father broke the fallow ground, the hard ground, and plowed the way so that the fields can be white, so that the fields can be ready for a harvest, you know, and we entered into that harvest, amen? We entered into what they have already established. So any good spiritual father always wants their sons and their daughters to take the torch of ministry and advance it further than they did. They now begin to build upon the spiritual foundation that their father has laid, carrying on legacy and building upon the foundation of their father for the next generation. All right, let's move on. Now we're going to be talking about confidence. And, you know, you can have a self-confidence that'll take you so far. But in spiritual things, you can't rely on self-confidence. Your confidence must completely and totally rely on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God the Father. Our confidence is not in our own ability. But our confidence rests in the fact that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us and empowers us. So your confidence is not in your own ability. When I pray before we begin the lessons, most of the time, I'll say, Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. Why do I say that? Because I'm leaning and relying and resting my confidence in the Holy Spirit to undergird me, to speak through my mouth, think through my mind, give me what I need to get so that I can get to you, you know. Because if I try to do it in my own ability, I'm going to fall flat on my face. So our confidence is not in our own ability, but our confidence rests on the fact that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us and empowers us. We are powerless without Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Always acknowledge your dependency upon the Holy Spirit. When you go to minister, always acknowledge your dependency. I'm dependent upon the Holy Spirit. He's my helper, you know, the comforter. You know, he helps my infirmities, my weaknesses, and my inadequacies. You know, acknowledge him. He's going to show up and show out. And really, when you get up there and you minister, you actually change into another person because it's not you, but it's him using you. You're just a vessel allowing his presence and his power to flow through. Amen? All right, let's move on. Talking about Jesus being an honor seed. Jesus being an honor seed. When Jesus came as a gift, he came as an honor seed. In his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm going to honor Then I added this to the end of it. I'm going to honor you, your will, in total submission. So when Jesus came to the earth, he came as an honor seat to honor the will of the Father, to do the will of God. And the will of God was that he live on this earth for 33 and a half years and he raised up disciples, but mainly that he came to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And he said when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, in that garden, he says, Father, let this cup pass from me, because he didn't want to be separated from his Father. But he said, nevertheless, in other words, irregardless of this fact, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, that's honoring his Father. That's honoring the will of the Father. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. When you honor God by saying, Lord, not what I would want to do, but what it is that you want me to do, you become an honor seed, and that honor seed will grow up into an honor harvest. Amen. You know, you are more powerful doing what God has called you to do than any other time in your life, because he empowers you to do it. Whom God calls, God will equip. He will give you everything you need to carry out the assignment that God has for you. So it's so very important that you become an honor seed. And just like Jesus, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. The Bible talks about how the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And when you begin to operate and walk in the vocation, the gift, the calling, whether it's the ministry of helps or the fivefold ministry, you begin to walk in that calling and that unction that God has given you. You are honoring God. And believe me, God will honor you. Amen. Because the Bible says that promotion doesn't come from the east, nor does it come from the west, but that promotion comes from the Lord. Amen. So God will honor you and he will promote you, because promotion comes from the Lord. Amen. All right. And this next question falls right in line. I mean, when I picked these questions, it was one after the other, and each one kind of builds upon the other. It says that the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. The gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. And then I got some extra footage here that says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. You're more anointed doing what God's called you to do than any other time in your life. Because whom God equips, whom God calls, he also equips. He's going to give you everything you need to carry out your assignment so that you can honor God, honor your man of God. Never take any call or any vocation or anything that you've been called or sent to do, don't take it for granted. Because sometimes certain responsibilities, certain jobs or certain vocations that you are put in a position to do only helps to build upon for the next foundation, for the next assignment that God has for you. It's a building process. So, and it's like climbing the steps. You know, you got to take each step, one step at a time, and you got to stay on a particular step until you learn all the lessons you need to learn. And then God will promote you to the next level, to the next step. You know, it's so very important that, you know, you understand and you recognize, like I said, that God has a plan and a specific purpose for your life. And he wants you to be an honor seed. He wants you to honor your man of God, honor your pastor. But it's so very important that we stick with the assignment and stay with it. You know, as I stated, you're more anointed doing what God has called you to do than any other time in your life. You know, whom he calls, he will also equip. Amen. So, like I said, the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they're given, and he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. Amen. All right. Next question. You must first learn how to sow honor seeds consistently and consecutively over a period of time before you can walk in true honor rewards. Read it again. You must first learn how to sow honor seeds consistently and consecutively over a period of time before you can walk in true and the true rewards of honor. A lot of times people think, I can sow a few seeds here and a few seeds there, and then God's going to honor me and I'm going to begin to see the harvest come up. You might see a trickle here or there, but it may take years and years before the true harvest of your honor seeds begin to come up. You know, the Bible says, in the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not thy hand. Because you don't know what seed that you sow is going to be the one that's going to be the breakthrough harvest seed in your life. But just keep sowing and do it as unto the Lord with a cheerful heart, you know, not grudgingly, you know, because God loves a cheerful, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in their giving, you know, or their seed that they're sowing. So being consistent and consecutive. Every time I see my man of God, I try to make sure that I have a prepared seed, you know. And when I see him, I sow the prepared seed, you know. And I try to do it consistently every time I see it and consecutively, you know. No, one seed after the next seed, because it'll get to the point where you're going to actually begin to just start sowing for a living. I've been retired for over 6 years now, and, you know, I don't expect or plan on getting another sideline job to make ends meet. Why? Because I sow for a living. I have no wants. I have no needs. God supplies all my needs. God blesses me. Money be coming from every direction because over the past 32, 33 years, I've been sowing into my man of God, sowing into the anointing, and now I'm beginning to see the harvest, the rewards of that seed, the harvest come back up. So, you know, Elijah served his man of God for 20 years or so. He never left Elijah's sight until he saw him go up in the whirlwind. And then Elijah said, ask what you would have for me to do. He said, but if you don't see me, you won't get it. And he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. And what happened? He saw Elijah go up in the whirlwind into the clouds. And he saw his mantle fall, put it around him. He cast it over the Jordan, and he went across the Jordan. Why? Because he received a double portion of Elijah's anointing. From what I've been told, he actually did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. Why? Because he had a double portion of his anointing. But he served, he poured water on the man of God's hands. He served. He said, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. You know, connection is so very important. I can't not understress that enough. Connection means everything. Amen. All right, let me move on. Let me see what if I'm not missing everything. Yeah, the rewards of honor doesn't happen overnight. Like I said, Elijah served his man of God for 20 plus years. All right, let's move on. When developing generational anointings from the father to the son and passing it down to your children, whether it's our physical children as our sons and daughters from birth, our spiritual sons and daughters in ministry, there is a 7-step developmental plan to develop the seed of honor. The first step in that plan is that, number one, you must be called. And we talked about that, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, latter part of last semester. But the first step in that 7-step developmental plan, and I'll probably go over that again in the next 2 or 3 class sessions because I want to reiterate and rehash some things. But the first step is you must have a call of God on your life. you know, whether that's called to the ministry of helps in a particular area or called to the fivefold ministry, you know. But, you know, you catch a hold of it, and then your kids will catch a hold of it, and they'll, you know, their children and their children will catch a hold of it. And each time it magnifies and it, you know, expands itself. Amen? All right. Next question, number 13. We're getting down close to the end. A calling is a strong inner urge. It's talking about a calling of God, or a prompting from the Holy Spirit to fulfill your vocation and assignment, a divine call to be summoned by God into the ministry. It is a leading by God into your God-given vocation, calling, or assignment. So a calling of God is a strong inner urge or prompting from the Holy Spirit to fulfill your vocation or assignment, a divine call to be summoned by God into the ministry. It is a leading by God into your God-given vocation, calling, or assignment. One of the things I always encourage people, I say, stay in your area of ministry. Stay in your anointing, or stay in your lane. If God called you to be a teacher, don't try to be a prophet or an evangelist. Stay in your lane. If God called you to work in the children's ministry, or to work in prison ministry, or to work in any facet of ministry, stay in that area until God promotes you. Don't try to promote yourself, you know, because you are more anointed doing what God has called you to do than any other time in your life. So whom God calls, he equips. So, you know, once you know what that calling is, you stay in that area and you develop in that area, because God will begin to put the resources in your hands and give you the tools that you need so that you can become successful at what he's called you to do. And I've noticed that in my life over the years, things that in my early years, God began to develop me in certain areas of ministry. Ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit, leading people to the Lord. And as I got older and began to be used more in ministry, God began to use me in certain areas because he had equipped me and developed me at a young age in these particular areas. And by doing so, now you become proficient at it and you become good at it. But you still recognize that your confidence is not in your own ability, but is in God, is in the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, moving on. To reap the rewards of honor, you must stay close to your man of God. Never disconnect. Don't be like the other sons of the prophet who stayed at a distance. Don't be a secret disciple. Those who stay in the distance don't get nothing. Talking about Elijah and Elijah. Elijah stayed close to his man of God. Elijah never left Elijah's sight. But there were several, I don't know how many more, sons of the prophet. But they were distant sons. They were off on the side of the mountain. They never connected properly. Proper connection is staying close to your man of God. Staying close to the assignment. Coming to all the meetings that you can come to. Even before we had meetings, when Apostle would go to minister for Kenneth Hagin or minister with Dr. Dollar, I just felt an urging and a need to go to those meetings too. And I thank God I had the opportunity to do so, because it helped mold me to the point where I'm at today, to where, you know, I know that there is a transfer. I know that there's a connection. I know that, you know, I'm receiving the importation, because I seen it in the early years, and it helped mold me and shape me to where I'm at today. You know, so it's so very important that you stay close to your man of God. Never disconnect. Don't be like the sons of the prophet that stayed off in a distance. You know, be like Elijah, who stayed close and received a double portion. All right. This is something we talked about last week. I got about 30 seconds. The first reward of honor is that God will change the spiritual atmosphere. You know, one of the first rewards of honor is God's going to change your spiritual atmosphere. When you begin to honor God, I have here, honor is the atmosphere that you must breathe. You create your atmosphere by the level of honor that you show. So you can actually create your own atmosphere. And remember we talked about atmosphere, and I used the analogy of the fish aquarium. And if I keep the atmosphere in that aquarium healthy and enough oxygen flowing, that the fish will thrive and they will even spawn and new fish will be born. And I've seen that happen in my aquariums. But I was the one that created the atmosphere to keep them healthy. Spiritually, you must be the one that creates your atmosphere and keep it healthy. You know, keep it conducive for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. You know, and by doing so, you cannot help but receive the reward of honor. So the first reward of honor is that God will change your spiritual atmosphere. Amen. But in changing it, you're the one that set it. Amen. So always set your atmosphere with the quality of spiritual vitality and life that you want your atmosphere to be. And you'll thrive in everything that you do. All right. See you next week. Amen.